Lynx Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Thursday, the 14th of August. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome into 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom on the way tonight. Hundreds of students across the Isle of Man have received their A-level results and are gearing up to head off to university. But for those who haven't quite hit the mark, what are your options? We'll be speaking live to UCM to find out more. Meanwhile, a review of Manx Care has found there are still major areas where its governance needs to be strengthened. And all the latest sport from Rob Pritchard. All those stories and more, if you want to say hello, text WhatsApp to 166 177, email studio@manxradio.com. First of all, though, let's get the latest from Siobhan Fletcher. Faster, my Siobhan.
An independent audit says Manx Care has made progress since its creation, but still faces significant governance challenges. The review found gaps in long-term planning, unclear alignment between the DHSC mandate and funding, and limited challenge from some board members. Students receiving A-levels on the Isle of Man this year achieved an overall pass rate of 99%. 55% of results were A-star to B grade, with 79% in the A-star to C range. And for those students who may feel uncertain about their next steps after receiving those exam results, they're invited to a University College Isle of Man event on the 1st of September. Vice Principal Jo Richardson says it can be a stressful time for young people.
They may have got results that they were surprised about, might not have done as well as they wanted, or they may have done better. And they want to think about their career and what future they've got. So it's a fantastic opportunity to find out what there is out there.
And the Isle of Man will fall silent tomorrow to mark victory over Japan Day and the 80th anniversary of the end of the Second World War. A 2-minute silence is planned for midday, paying tribute to all those who served and lost their lives in the Far East and the Pacific. Further afield, a Russian government plane has landed in Alaska as Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump prepare to meet to discuss Ukraine without Vladimir Zelensky. The US president earlier confirmed he'd call Ukraine and European leaders after the chat, but now says if it doesn't go well, he won't be phoning anybody. Fred Flates used to work under Mr. Trump.
Trump's strength in leadership has made him a mediator that parties to a number of disputes have been willing to go to. No one would be inviting Joe Biden or his team to doing things like this. And I'm hoping that this perception of leadership will also rub off on Putin.
One expert described the regional inequalities highlighted in today's A-level results as less of a north-south divide and more of London versus the rest. And growth in the UK economy has slowed, but it's better than forecasters were expecting. They're your headlines, news at 6.
Good reminder, thank you very much for that, Siobhan. Let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Gloss and Glazing. Dry with bright and sunny spells this afternoon. However, coastal mist and fog will continue to affect some southern and eastern coasts at first. The light southwest wind will then turn west or northwest with highs of 22 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
Ambitions Recruitment Consultants, covering all business sectors in the Isle of Man. Register online or email your CV to info@ambitions.co.im or ring 614-841. Ambitions, for all your recruitment needs, however big or small.
One Architectural Design Company has particular expertise in achieving planning approval for a wide variety of projects, from landmark buildings to spectacular homes. Talk to the experts at Ellis Brown and get your project off the ground. For excellence in design, search Ellis Brown.
Patricia Wild Opticians is celebrating over 30 years of friendly, caring service in Farmhill and Ramsey. Visit us for professional eye care with stress-free parking. Phone Patricia Wild Opticians on 813 977.
Elevate Rubber Cover from Rubber Roof Shop for one-piece flat roofing systems. No joins, no leaks. We also line commercial box gutters in one piece up to 60 metres with a 20-year written warranty against leakage. Call Rubber Roof Shop on 49667.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
It's approaching 5 minutes past five. Welcome into the programme. Hundreds of Manx students have been picking up their A-level results today. Last year, around two-thirds applied for a university course and around 30% entered the workforce. Eilish and Rebecca picked up their results at QE2 High School in Peel.
We're both really happy, and what we've put in has come out in our results. So, I think exam season was a difficult one for everyone, probably, but getting these results makes it all worth it, and it's a nice surprise.
It's only a short period of your time, so those 2 years working as hard as you can to get that paper at the end is worth it.
Yeah, don't leave revising till last minute. But embrace everything that sixth form and A-levels has to offer. It is hard work, but definitely worth it at the end. And yeah, it goes quickly, so just enjoy every moment of it as well.
Now, exciting times for you guys. What's the future looking like?
So I'm currently studying at RAD for my teacher training, so I'll be a qualified dance teacher by next year. So I've actually got a place at Liverpool Hope for dance and early education, so I'll defer that this year, and then if I'm in a place to go, I'll go next year.
And I've chosen to firm my acceptance to the University of Glasgow to study religion and theology. So I'll be off in September, which is very exciting, and yeah.
So ladies, I have to ask, you know, every year we hear about students leaving the island, and there's always the question of returning to the island. After a few years, after your studies, would you guys look to return to the island?
I think definitely. It's there's such a sense of community on the island, and obviously family and friends are all here, so it'll be nice to come back.
And yourself, Ailish?
Yeah, my family's rooted here, so I'll definitely, if not come back to visit frequently. But yeah, it depends what opportunities I have.
Ailish and Rebecca from QE2 High School in Peel speaking there. Congratulations to them. Sounds as if they were pleased with their results. But on the other hand, exams aren't always kind, and some students may not have achieved what they'd hoped for. Well, the advice is don't panic. There are options available and you are not alone. Gail Corrin is the Higher Education Manager at UCM. She joins us now. First of my Gail, thanks so much for taking a moment out of what is probably a very busy day for you. I suppose today is a big milestone for many students, but also a difficult day for some. From your experience, what are the next steps a student should be taking if they realise that they actually haven't quite got the grades they were expecting?
Thanks, Christian. Yeah, I mean, it's a big day, isn't it? We all remember it ourselves. And I think the first thing is that inevitably people will feel disappointed if the results haven't turned out the way they expected or the way they hoped for. My first advice is do not hide under a rock. Get into action. The best way to deal with your disappointment is to get into action, get into communication, to look at the options, because there are always, always options. Those students who have applied to study in the UK will obviously be being guided through the UCAS clearing process by their sixth form tutors. Those students who have applied to do their degree with us at UCM, get in touch. Ring us, email us. There's always option. We have some flexibility around accepting people on courses, but quite rightly, not a huge amount. But that doesn't mean there aren't other options. We have access to HE courses at UCM, which is a level 3 course, which is the same as A-levels. But it does give you an opportunity in 1 year to gain missing UCAS points. So, you know, to get yourself back up to the level you need to be to start a full degree. And those students also who perhaps have applied to go to the UK and are now looking at their options, if they're a bit disappointed, one of the things that you can do at UCM, of course, is you can study and you can work. I think that figure you quoted before, about 30% of year 13s are now going straight into work. The Isle of Man is quite unique, I think, in the world. It's got an extremely buoyant employment market. And what we find with a lot of our students is that the way that we have compact timetables, that they can work and they can study at the same time. So that's also an option if you're perhaps just a bit uncertain about what's the best course. But going back to your question around people who are disappointed, who have just got less UCAS points than they expected, poorer exam results respected, the best thing to do is to get in communication and talk. And we're happy to help with students, even if you are thinking of going to the UK. You know, we're on your side here. We're on the island with you, and we'd be happy to talk to you about the options that you might have. We also have an event on the 1st of September between 10 and 12 and 2 and 4 up at the Homefield Road campus to specifically come and talk to all our course leaders again and get an insight into perhaps what the options are for study on the island.
And could taking a gap year or resitting exams or even actually starting a different qualification altogether be a positive choice rather than a setback?
Absolutely. I mean, gap years I'm very old now, but I think if I'd had my time again, I would have really thought about a gap year, regardless of my results, just to give you a chance to do something different, to gain some of that personal experience that really strengthens you then as a student when you come to do your full-time study. So I think that's always a worthwhile option, as is going straight into the workplace. But you're right, alternative courses, I could tell stories after stories of students who perhaps started a course after a disappointing sort of set of A-level results, who ended up doing another course in a completely different way, at a completely different subject, and then flourished. Hmm. So, you know, it's about getting communication. It's about keeping an open mind. It is an important day. And if you've been disappointed, you mustn't let it overwhelm you. It is an important day, but it's not the only day that you're going to make a good decision in life. So, you know, get into communication and keep an open mind. There are lots of options that are really, really worthwhile following up. Different courses, different levels, et cetera, et cetera.
And like you say, today can be very overwhelmingly emotionally. So what advice would you have for students and their parents to manage that stress and still make those clear-headed decisions?
Yeah, take a deep breath. Okay, it's a beautiful day. If I was in that position, you folks, I'd be walking on the beach on the island this evening. Take a breath, okay? It's a disappointment, but it's not the end of the world. So take a breath, and then first thing in the morning, get in touch if you haven't already with if you're going for UCAS then, but also get in touch with UCM. You could email us on he@ucm.ac.im or give us a call on 648 200, and there'll be someone there to talk to you and start that conversation about what else is possible, because there will be something else that's possible and worthwhile.
Gail Corran speaking there. Thank you for joining us. That was the Higher Education Manager at University College Isle of Man. Well, let's turn our attention to the results so far. And students have achieved a pass rate of 99%. More than half of all grades were at A star to B, with 79% in the A star to C range. Lewis Foster is with us now. First of my Lewis, that is an improvement on last year, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Fast my Christian. The Department of Education, Sport and Culture says early indications suggest around 80% of students will go on to higher education, with the rest heading into work or apprenticeships.
But there were some concerns about the number of university places available through clearing this year, aren't there?
Yeah, that's right. So UCAS is warning that financial pressures could make universities more likely to accept students who've just missed their predicted grades, but it might still mean fewer options for others. It was something we spoke to the head of sixth form at QE2 about earlier, actually. This is Stephen Slack, who says most of their students have done well and secured the places they wanted.
Yeah, we're really pleased. It's obviously an emotional day for a lot of our students, but our students, the vast majority of them, have achieved their goals in terms of the next steps, whether that be university or work placement or UCM places. So yeah, I agree, a lot of happy faces, and we're really pleased for them.
There's been reports this morning about places being short because universities are accepting more students who miss their grades. Are you worried about a shortage of clearing places?
Yeah, well, we were obviously following the news as everyone did this morning and preparing ourselves for that. But actually, we were pleasantly surprised when we opened up our UCAS report. And again, the vast majority of students got their first choice. A small handful got second choice. We were thinking that might be an issue, but for us, it seems to have worked out quite well for our students, so we're pleased with that.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Manx Care is reducing the number of beds on the Martin ward because it says more care is now able to happen at home. But as we heard, concerns that this could place more pressure on families, carers and the third sector, and it was also just PR spin. Well, we've been finding out more about the service that's made this possible. Michelle Breed is the head of intermediate care service at Manx Care and has been telling Amy Griffiths more.
We provide short-term rehabilitation at home for people who have maybe had a crisis, which has then reduced their functional ability, or if they've had accidents, injury, illness, an operation, and we can facilitate them out of hospital sooner and provide their rehabilitation at home.
Because how much of a difference does that make, being able to do the majority of the recovery in a home environment?
Oh, it's absolutely essential to be practicing the skills that you need in the environment in which you need them. Everything from doing your own stairs to negotiating your own bathroom, and being able to practice with our restorative care workers that on a daily basis, and being able to get the muscle memory to be able to do that in your own environment. And of course, especially for elderly patients, we see a significant amount of confusion when they are in a hospital bed or in a care home bed that they're not used to. Also, if they're in hospital, then you do become deconditioned very quickly. And also you are more prone to hospital acquired infections. And so anything that we can do to reduce that gives better outcomes for those patients.
So then how are you able to make sure that the work that's being done in those environments is the same as the care that they would get in an hospital environment?
The majority of the time, the reason why somebody stays in a bed-based environment is around their risk within the home of being able to do some elements independently. So such as being able to manage to get to the toilet by themselves, be able to get in and out of bed by themselves. Once they've achieved that, pretty much everything else we can support at home.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, let's start with the roads. In Douglas, the temp traffic light system at St Ninian's Crossroads is being replaced. So temporary lights are currently replacing the main lights and all filter lanes are out of operation. The DOI has confirmed this work will be complete by 7 o'clock tomorrow morning and all temporary traffic measures will be removed as the junction returns to normal. Also in Douglas, temporary lights on Woodbourne Road for bus stop improvement works. Elsewhere near Foxdale, temporary lights on the shoulder road at South Burrell Plantation for tree works. I will take a look at the steam packet. All's looking good over there as far as I'm concerned. Nothing that's out of the ordinary. We'll take a look at the airports though. There are a couple of things to be aware of. The 450 Aer Lingus from Dublin is delayed until 6:20. Also the 6:25 EasyJet from London Gatwick, minor delay of around 20 minutes. On the departures board, the 5:20 Aer Lingus to Dublin, about an hour and a half delay, not due to take off until 6:50. And also the 6:55 EasyJet to London Gatwick. That's not due on the runway until 7:35 instead.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
An independent review has found that while Manx Care has made progress since it was set up, there are still major areas where its governance needs to be strengthened. Simon Richardson has been looking through the findings. Just give us a flavour of what this report is all about.
Thanks to my Christian. So the review was carried out by the Management Internal Audit Agency, or the MIAA. It looked closely at how Manx Care's board and its committees are run and whether their decision making is properly aligned to the annual mandate set by the Department of Health and Social Care.
And what did they actually find then?
Well, the auditors said the overall structure is reasonable, but the way it's working needs more focus. They found there's no shared understanding across the board of exactly what the DHSC mandate represents, and that there's been a long-standing disconnect between those objectives and the funding given to deliver them. That, they say, has made it harder to plan for the long term, with too much emphasis on short-termism.
So what are they recommending here?
In essence, they want Manx Care and the DHSC to work more closely on measurable mandate outcomes, realistic costings and 3, 5 and 10-year strategies, with possible public involvement on those. They're also calling for clearer decision-making responsibilities between Manx Care, the DHSC and Treasury, and for better performance measures for government shared services. Those basically provide support functions such as finance, HR, IT, estates, legal and communications, which Manx Care is required by law to use.
Right, OK. Well, just tell us a bit more about the way the board and committees are working.
The report says the board has a good balance of skills overall, but there are gaps, including a lack of clinical representation and no regular attendance from the DHSC. It also found variable levels of contribution and challenge in meetings, with an often over-reliance on the chief executive and chair. Committees are meeting more often than best practice suggests, and in some cases their work isn't clearly linked to strategic priorities. On top of that, the quality and timelines of meetings papers is a persistent problem, with late submissions, incomplete information, and too many verbal updates affecting effectiveness.
And risk management also came under the spotlight too, didn't it?
It did, Christian. The auditors acknowledged progress in that area, but said the board assurance framework needs a reset, aligning it more closely with strategic priorities and putting in place action plans to close gaps in controls. They also want executive directors to take more ownership of the framework and for committees to scrutinise risks more consistently.
So actually quite a long list of changes then.
Yeah, that's fair to say. More than 40 recommendations in total. They range from improving meeting discipline and strengthening relationships with DHSC to embedding long-term planning and developing the board.
Simon, thank you for that. And Manx Care, in response to the review, has said the review is an opportunity to reflect on progress, but also find better ways to support transparency, accountability and strategic oversight in the island's health and care system. 21 minutes past five, new employment rights for shared parental leave and parental bereavement leave announced last week are welcome but long overdue. That's the verdict from a new mum and local business operator, Sally Fenton. The changes announced will take effect from the 1st of November and mean that parents will be able to share up to 50 weeks of leave to care for a new baby in the first 12 months of the baby's life. Sally says the improvements are a step in the right direction, but 11 years behind the UK.
I think it's all about aligning with what the Isle of Man is trying to achieve. We've got a sort of ageing demographic here in the Isle of Man, and we need to increase the working population to balance the books, but also for the future of what the Isle of Man is. We need the youth of today coming through with new ideas and being able to be our successors for whatever the world looks like in years to come. So unless you make it a bit easier to work, to return to work, to share family responsibility, because as everyone knows, it's not like someone's staying at home anymore and someone's working. Someone's got to then do all of those things and add a child into the mix. So it's trying to make it a more family-friendly place. And that probably needs to extend to affordability and accessibility of childcare. You know, trying to get a space for an under two is quite a challenge in the childcare world in the Isle of Man. And that's if then you can even afford it or it makes financial sense to return to work. So how do we align all these things? It seems to be that the sort of Norwegians and Swedes, etc., and certain European jurisdictions do this very, very well. Perhaps a leaf out of their book wouldn't be a bad idea.
Get the full story. Tune in to Manx Radio's newscast for in-depth interviews behind the headlines. Find the newscast now at manxradio.com or your usual podcast provider.
Let's turn our attention to sport, and in just over 3 days' time, the Manx Grand Prix will return to the Snaefell Mountain Course. And in a change this year, it'll be running during an expanded 12-day schedule, along with the returning Classic TT from the 17th until the 29th of August. The previous shorter MGP format of 9 days, which has run in the last 3 years, has come in for backlash from some, which was heavily disrupted by weather last year. The organisation's chair, John McBride, explains what their vision is for this year and beyond.
Preparations are going very well, actually. We have been in a bit of a panic, thinking that we were behind, but as it turns out, we're well ahead of the game, and hopefully this week we'll be coasting along to the event. So I think we're pretty much there now.
Over the last couple of years, we had the shorter 9-day format, and at times it had come in for a bit of criticism. When I've asked you about it previously, you said that one of the reasons for it is that the organisers couldn't get the necessary martial and medical cover to expand it. We are now going into an expanded 12-day programme, so is there enough martial and medical cover to cover this expanded schedule?
Well, the TTMA, they've done a fantastic job, and marshalling numbers are actually up on previous years, and it's looking very good in that respect. But we still have the issue with the beginning of the event and the end of the event, where things are a bit thin on the ground, and we think that's mainly due to a shortage of local volunteers who normally sign up, who haven't. And it might just be that they're waiting to the last minute and this sort of thing. But we do rely heavily, because they're the backbone of the marshalling community, really. They're the local marshals. So I'd urge any of them who are sitting there waiting to go. The event starts on Sunday, so we need you now. Similar with medics. I mean, they're covered and everything. But of course, the expanded programme is always going to create a shortfall at the start and the end. But we need to be able to get away on Sunday, because the weather forecast is brilliant, and we want all our Manx Grand Prix riders qualified by Tuesday if we possibly can. We all listened to what was going on at the time, and I think it's been responded to. I think everybody prefers the longer format, but the last thing we need to be doing is cancelling races because we can't get marshals or medics and what have you. So, yes, I mean, I think it's generally we've tried to accommodate everyone, but really now is the time when people need to step up and fill the gaps.
That's John McBride from the Manx Motorcycle Club. All right, we'll stick with sport and we can get the latest from Rob Pritchard. Faster Mike,
Christian, I'm going to stick with motorsport because Michael Dunlop, MBE, will contest the Formula One race at this year's Classic TT with Wiz Norton Racing. The team has confirmed the 33-time TT winner will contest the race on board the squad's WRS 588cc Norton rotary machine. Announcing the update, Wiz Norton Racing is describing it as an honour to have Dunlop on board for their 2025 campaign. And Michael will also be following in the footsteps of his father, Robert Dunlop, who previously piloted a Norton rotary to podiums in both the 1990 Formula One TT and 1992 Senior TT. Elsewhere, two Alaban Trials competitors have been crowned British champions at this year's Trial GB Youth Championships. Team Station Garage riders Lily Butterworth and Clodagh Higgins have taken top spot in their respective classes following the final two rounds of the season on Manx Shores last weekend. In the Trial GBY Aspire class, Butterworth stormed to a championship win, racking up 111 points in total, nearly 50 points clear of her second nearest challenger. Meanwhile, Higgins managed a clean sweep of top scores throughout the campaign in the Trial 2Y Foundation competition, winning the championship on 120 points. Elsewhere, another TSG rider, Alessandra Beaumont, went on to finish third in the Trial 3Y Foundation standings.
Good, Maya. Thank you very much for that. Rob, must be an exciting time for you. Probably busy with MGP on the horizon.
Busy, but very enjoyable.
Yeah, what's your favourite part of it? Getting sunburnt.
Thankfully, I don't get that in the commentary box. Love the view from the commentary box over at Ramsey.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Yeah, well, definitely one to keep an eye on. Well, that's it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher. Up next is Chuck Clare with Bob Carswell. Chris Kinley straight after with Greatest Hits. Morris Powell has a little light music from 9 o'clock. And then last but not least, Rhian Evans from 10 till midnight with After Hours. I'll be back with you tomorrow again, same time. So until then, take care. Bye-bye for now.